It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio this beautiful day, in a series of beautiful days, none other than The Citizen Lobbyist. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How about you, Mike?
I'm adjusting to this warmth. I'm about to go off to a place that's roughly twice, not quite twice the temperature, twice in the morning temperature, about 80 degrees in Washington, D.C. this weekend coming up, and I'll be there and come back with perhaps some observations that we can share later on.
We'll be ships passing in the night. I go a week from Saturday myself.
Okay. I've been told the snow is gone.
I've been told that too, but hold on. It's been quite a winter for everybody.
That's right. So this week, I think the major focus can easily be starting and maybe ending with the Palmer City Council meeting that happened on Tuesday. There are a variety of people that will arrive, and usually I'd say the average number of people other than the staff that's in the audience might be, 10 at the most. But this was a standing room only operation. And it was mainly because of one item, which was an administrative memo, if you will, that would allow an exemption. And this became the central discussion point for much of the time when the item was discussed. It would allow an exemption to essentially a noise ordinance to allow guns to be fired in the city. However, that was just kind of like the entryway to a much larger discussion. You were able to listen to part of it.
I listened to it,
recorded it. And by the way, for those individuals that are interested in the detail, it's a fascinating recording. It's up on our website, radiofreepalmer.org. And you can listen to parts. You can skip ahead toward the end where the decisions were made. But we're going to give you a little background here. So what did you hear, Citizen Lobbyist?
I heard, and this is just to be a little clearer, what was to change an existing ordinance to allow an indoor shooting range that's been proposed in the old Fred Meyer building, which is sort of across the street from the post office, certainly what most people would consider the downtown area of Palmer. And that is a building not owned. It should be important for people to know that the city does not own that building. The Kroger owns that. The former Fred Meyer, who was had their grocery store there and then moved it across the street, own that building. They have had it for sale it's been about a year now, hasn't it, Mike, that they moved over there?
And have
been unsuccessful so far selling it. And apparently they have been approached by a group of business people that now want to turn that building into an indoor shooting range. And it would require, as you said, the city to make some adjustment in their code to allow that to happen. So that's kind of the background of it, just for people.
Maybe just a little bit more detail. The group of people that arrived there were all male.
Mm-hmm.
They were large. I noticed that. They have to be big people. And they represented, although they were in various occupations, including a realtor, the company that is presenting the plan is Valkyrie, mm-hmm. which is a statewide organization that provides security services in all kinds of venues.
Do they have any other indoor shooting ranges?
They did not speak to that. And maybe for listeners, cutting right to it, there are two things that were happening here. One, although there was this agenda that had emerged a long time ago, a week or more ago, the reality of it, of the item, which seemed to be small and talked about a noise ordinance thing, was not a large item that was saying there would need a need for a planning ordinance approval change of any sort. The reality is that's a commercial area, and the only aspect of the business proposed was the potential even though it was to be an indoor activity, of noise bothering people. And as the discussion, by the way, this came toward the end of the meeting, as this discussion revolved around and around, the somewhat unfortunate situation was that early on in the meeting, there's a persons to be heard section.
Right.
And the way the city of Palmer works that, you can talk about either agenda items or non-agenda items. So there wasn't a specific hearing to be held on this item. And so what I was hoping, and I think maybe others would have hoped for, was a bit more of a presentation, perhaps by the people that were bringing the plan forward, that would have described a whole bunch of stuff. And in so doing, would have kept people from really in part asking questions because they only had some information about what it might be. When they finally got through with all of the discussion, what my understanding is that inside would be divided up in a variety of ways. There would be both a private and a public range that would be built with baffles that have been used in other similar indoor ranges, et cetera. And the suggestion was that you could stand outside the doors and you wouldn't hear anything as the gunfire was happening. The other part to it, though, and that's where the number 10 million was thrown around and perhaps 60 people working, was that this was a complex. This wasn't just a shooting range, but it rather, we'll talk about a retail store, a gunsmith, a complex around the use and sale and of guns. And I think there were a number of people, both in the audience who spoke and some of the council members who spoke, that said that's what drew them out. The sense that this was sudden, the sense that there was really talking about a small
exception to the usual process where the city manager would grant a permit.
And there needed to be some education about what ordinances that the city has that actually govern any of this. And when the attorney reviewed and the manager reviewed and all the rest of the people reviewed, they said, this is the only thing that's required as far as council action. This is a private business in a commercial area, and none of our guidelines would apply in any other way. I think it took a long time for that to come home to people. Now, there were a number of votes taken toward the end to either approve or not approve this. But early on, there was mention of the question, well, there were a lot of people who were out, and they had some concerns, and maybe there should be a little more time. And then we had that classic situation where the parties presenting the proposal suggested, okay, can we wait 2 weeks, 4 weeks, et cetera, or is there some urgency to all of this? Well, apparently there's another player in the line to possibly use Fred Meyer. Mm-hmm. And so what they're saying is they needed to commit to this and make this happen. Well, the discussion went on, and I think it was safe to say that you could watch the council members in some cases go back and forth and say, you know, bottom line, we have a responsibility to the population to ensure that everyone has a chance to talk about this, because it's obviously, even though we're talking about an exemption here, there's something bigger at work when we're talking about this complex. And so ultimately there was a 4-3 vote to postpone or continue to the next meeting in 2 weeks. And
how did that vote break down?
Well, the mayor spoke eloquently, I thought, and said she wasn't opposed to gun ranges and guns and the rest of it, but she felt it was important that people hear this. And so Sabrina Combs, the mayor, Pete LaFrance, and Steve Carrington voted to postpone. And all of them expressed support for learning more about this whole project, but ultimately came to that opinion. The other three members spoke variously about the protocol of having this one issue dealing with an exemption, and they had felt, they said it clearly, we felt we had enough information to talk about this exemption. Okay, and so I almost wanted to say, okay, then here's what we, you know that if you vote yes on this exemption, this whole thing goes forward. So is there really, and I think this is the crux of it, if you were doing anything else, is there really another way to deal with the issue of the business located there beyond just saying yes to this exemption? And I heard clearly that there was nothing that the city could use to further that discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was mentioned when they brought up the noise ordinance that they were, that you were referring to, Mike, that needed to be changed. It was written sometime in the 70s. And, you know, it's oddly, Palmer has had some of the only established building codes, zoning codes there's been in the valley, really. But it sounds like this is a good indication that all those things should be looked at as we move into, you know, higher density, mixed uses, land conflicts. I know some of the testimony I heard were what you said, respectable, but concerns from nearby neighbors and small little thing here. I'm one of those neighbors. I didn't speak last night, but I'm very close to that facility, wondering how that was going to impact their lives and their property appraisals, and that it was right across the street from a child care center, and in view of what's happened in 2018 with guns, and that gave them some pause. That there was some gentleman, I thought, made a good point by saying he didn't worry so much about what went in once people entered the building. It was what went on in the parking lot, and, you know, how many accidents. He didn't make them. He said irresponsible discharges, I think, is what negligent discharges would happen, and that he wanted to see some data from EMS on what people are being called out for right now on those things. And it also, I think it really, I'm glad to see them do that. I think it does deserve a robust conversation. It also goes to the heart, and although there's not going to be any code to protect them on this, but it would seem to me that it really, to the people sitting in those chairs, what they really want for the city is the least amount of conflicts, but the highest return for the city on whatever ends up there. I know someone remarked to me yesterday that there was a very nice indoor shooting range in South Anchorage a few years ago that couldn't survive. And if you can't survive in South Anchorage with, you know, the demographics of that population, it's going to be very interesting to see how this could be. Plus, that building is set up as a grocery store. So it's going to take an enormous amount of investment to get the HVAC system and everything. It's not an easy task to turn it into that. It'll take a lot of investment. But again, that's something, you know, the manager's right. The city doesn't really have much to say about that. But it's a good thing for them to pay attention to now on, you know, as we look at these increasing land conflicts. Plus, you know, what it could do, I think someone testified that there actually were three or four people looking at that building, and it may put some pressure on some people that are holding off, that because I understand this is a lease, not a purchase of the building. It's a lease situation. Maybe somebody who actually wants to buy the building will come forward now when they see that it you know, it could be leased out for a long term and not be available. So there's always that. There's also the impact to Kroger. And if people really don't like it and they walk with their dollars and not shop at Kroger because of them approving this lease, that can play into it. So this could go, this could be very interesting as it continues on.
Well, I think what arose for me was the bigger picture. This has been dealt with and looked at over many years by asking the question, what role does the city play in encouraging economic development? Mm-hmm. There was a reference, for example, to the fact that long ago there was set aside an area called the Industrial Park. And this was specifically, I think, designed to take out of the center of town
warehouses.
Industries, warehouses, et cetera, and place them there. And so, in fact, that was raised. Well, why not there? I think it would appear to me that what's become attractive is that we have a large empty building, and it's been empty for a while. And I think people are negotiating, and mm-hmm. Fred Meyer is negotiating to have that be a productive piece of property. It has caused many people
a lot of angst
and a lot of fantasizing about, oh, we could put this or that, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And there were still questions, I think, from the council about the business plan, for example. But even there, what role does the city council have in determining whether if they don't own the property, okay, in deciding whether that business plan is adequate or not? So what I come back to was what we began with. Here's this small item that appeared on the agenda, which was about an exemption to a sound piece. And there was proper discussion about why we'd have such an exemption. Mm-hmm. But then that funneled out into the broader question of the kind of city that people wanted to see.
Right.
But I think your point was particularly important. In this time, coming after some recent events involving guns, there is a very quick response when someone says, let's put a shooting range in downtown Palmer.
Well, and you know, you haven't had there's going to be some pushback from some gun retailers, particularly if they plan to sell guns. I mean, there are some gun store here operators that, you know, may not be in Palmer, but are certainly going to be affected by it if they become another retail. And that's always gives people some pause and concern for that. So it's good to give it a cooling off period, let more people be aware. They can probably expect another full chambers when they bring it up again. But I think it is fair that people have noticed, particularly when it comes to what might happen to their properties in value and if it's approved. And it maybe will open the door for them to have some bigger discussions about some flaws that might exist in their current zoning and planning programs.
Right. So that dominated that meeting.
Yep.
That dominated many people's thinking about things. In the moments we have left, you have any other particular topics you'd like to bring up?
Well, I'd like to give an update because we've talked about it so much, Mike, and there are so many people in Palmer that are watching the final days of the legislature. There was, I know I get tons of messages a day about SB 63, the smoke-free workplace bill.
Got it.
Finally got a hearing. It's been trapped in the Rules Committee by Chair Gabrielle Ledoux from an Anchorage legislator that has not wanted to hear the bill. She finally agreed to a hearing last night. She did have a hearing. It was a rather contentious one that Representative Keto walked out on. He was so frustrated because basically what was introduced by the chair as a committee substitute pretty much guts the bill. It would include it would exempt e-cigarettes and marijuana, which means both of those could be in the workplace now, marijuana and e-cigarettes in the workplace, and include a local option. So instead of, you know, everybody having a level playing field and playing by the same rules, it would allow cities to have an option of not being smoke-free. And I'm not sure how you opt out of good health, what the reason is behind that, but it was a very contentious hearing. And now, as soon as it is actually formally let go by the chair, it will be assigned to the floor. If the floor hears it and those changes stay in there, which makes it substantially different than the original bill that was passed by the Senate will have to concur with those changes.
Or it could be changed back on the floor.
It could be. It absolutely could be. I expect there to be a robust conversation about those changes. There are 21 co-sponsors on the current bill. None of those things exist on it. They were given very, very short notice, people in the Rules Committee, of what the changes were. They didn't find out until that morning what the changes were. Mr. Keto made some very good statements about it. He was quite frustrated about it. So we'll see what happens. It should play out. Hopefully, with some luck, it'll get out of rules sometime today and be scheduled for a House vote sometimes it sounds like they really would like to get out of there this week. The 90 days is going to hit Sunday. I don't know if they'll make that, but I think they're all very anxious to get home. I know they are. I spent a whole day down there last week. They're itching to come back. I think the results of the Anchorage election has given some legislators pause, and they are very anxious to get home and to finish their work. So we will see, but that's an update on SB 63. There's a lot of other bills that are pretty contentious, including one that is Aaron's Law, trying to be name changed to Breeze Law, and one having to do with the PFD that Bill Wilikowski has been trying to get out of judiciary, and that was kind of a drama played out event too. So we'll see what happens. So if you have spare time, there's no better reality TV than Gavel to Gavel right now if you're not listening to Palmer, Radio Free Palmer. So I would recommend you keep an eye on these final days of the legislature.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for coming in today and sharing interesting stuff.
Interesting.
Right here in Palmer,
times.
Alaska. Right.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at RadioFreePalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests did not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@RadioFreePalmer.org.